Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Scripture passage this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, which can be found in your pew Bible, page 886. Page 886. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Let's lift up our praises now with the doxology. Seated.
I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Very happy to be going home and enjoying things with primarily my wife, my son and daughter-in-law who live right there in the same city, and we have two grandchildren there, and we will all have a big time, and then we'll have a daughter coming from Milledgeville, Georgia, and we'll have a son coming from Savannah, Georgia, and we will just really enjoy the time together. It's never fun until the oldest son arrives, and then everybody starts laughing. He has got the gift. He can make his mother laugh. He can make his sister laugh. He can make the grandchildren laugh. And so it really doesn't get going until he gets going. So we're looking forward to all of that. And it's been wonderful the way you've taken care of me since basically August. I've had little field trips to car museums and to fish ladders and to Mount Rainier and lots of good food, and it's been just a joy to be with you all and look forward to being back after the first of the year and renew our time together. And I'll be praying for your pulpit committee. My wife's really praying for your pulpit committee, so she's into the pulpit committee. I think I'm going to get her a whole list of the names so she can pray for them, but yeah. The passage talks about primarily that the Word became flesh in Jesus, or in Jesus, the Word became flesh. That's the primary focus here. Now, it's what God has done, but we have to come and understand this is Christmas, and gifts are given, but for the gift to be really given, the gift has to be received. So you see this in the passage where it says, to all who received him, he gave the gift to become the children of God. We have to receive. God gives, we receive. That's the way this works. Christmas. Think of it. What would it be like? Somebody you love goes and spends maybe money, maybe time, maybe there's consciousness about all of this, and they get it. It's just right. They know it is, and they put it in whatever kind of a package they like and wrap it up, and they bring it, and they give it to you, and they're excited, and you take the package and go home. You never open it. This happens all the time. The preacher preaches. He presents the gift. The people hear it. They receive the word. Then they go home. And you say, but what didn't the person do? They ever opened the gift. Now, some of you are children. I'm not saying children is the only time, but it's certainly the best time. It's the best time to learn from your childhood to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Children, well, they're like those gangsters down in Los Angeles. You see those gangsters down there on the television? And what do? They run into a jewelry store, and they do a smash and grab. Isn't that what Christmas morning's like with children? Just kind of looks like a smash and grab. Children, grab Jesus. Open the package. Receive him as a child, the best you can, and grow. Grow in the reception of receiving Jesus. And some of you who are older, it's never too late to get started. But really, it's a sad day. You see this passage, they came to his own. His own didn't receive him. In literature, they've got a word for that. It's called the tragic tone. The tragic tone. And that's what we don't want. We don't want the tragic tone. We want the joy of Christmas. The gift is given. Receive Christ into your heart. So we look here in this first part of this passage in verses 6 through 8 and verse 15. And we see it's telling us about John. We see that in this passage it says there's a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light that all might believe through him. And this is the testimony of John that he cried out saying, after me comes one who was before me, because he has a greater rank than me. That's what John came. He was the capstone. When you think of John, what should you think of? You should think of he's the capstone of the whole Old Testament. All the prophets prophesied until John. That's what Jesus says. He's the capstone. He's right there. In him, all the message of the Old Testament consolidates and then hits its mark. He's a witness. He's a witness to the light. That's who John is. What should we think of when we think of John? Think of the tree you've got at the house. You know, there's one thing you could leave off of the tree, and the tree really wouldn't be a tree, isn't it? And what's that one thing you could leave off that tree that would just keep it from really being the tree that everybody thinks about when they think of a Christmas tree? And it's that star or that angel that goes right at the top. That's John. He's right at the top. No one is greater born of men than John. That's what Jesus said. So he comes to us, and he comes to us as a witness. Now, we're called to be witnesses. You wouldn't believe it. Saturday night, the last time I was here, some of the people in our church were singing an event at Mercer Island. So the Helms, and we went and met some other people. Wonderful little concert was over. Came here, preached, got in the airplane, and I'm telling you, the girl that came to sit next to me was, wow. She's a beautiful woman. So she sat down, and right on the other side of her on the aisle was a young mother with a baby. On the other side of the aisle was a young husband with a baby. They were taking care of the babies, and here was this woman sitting next to me, and it was quiet for probably an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and then all of a sudden we started to talk, and as we talked, we were finding out where she's from, Mideast, finding out her background, Muslim. Finally, I said, well, where are you from? She says, well, ever heard of Mercer Island? I says, I was there last night. And it was just like amazing. And what was I able to do for a couple of hours? I was just being able to listen to her, just listen. I was on the receiving end, and every once in a while, just the opportunity to point her to Jesus, to point her to Jesus. I was being a witness. That's not what John's talking about here. That's not it at all. Now, we need to be that, and that's the application of this. We need to be witnesses, but that's not the witness of John. God sent John. God sent John as a witness. He's the whole Old Testament wrapped up in him, and he witnesses by pointing to Christ. This is the Christ, is what John is saying. This is the Christ. Who are you? Who are the people that John was witnessing to? Well, they're either the judge or they were the jury. Take your pick. God sent a witness, and his witness is true. And the witness says, this is the Christ. And what are we supposed to do with a gift that's given to us? We're to believe and receive. And so you are called to believe. To not to believe is to reject. You're called to receive. If you don't receive, you deny. And this is God's witness. This is the witness that he sent. And he sent that witness for no other reason than to point and say of Jesus, this is the Messiah. And so I just call on you. if you have not believed and received, the call on you is to act. To act with urgency. To act appropriately. Paul's going to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And if you're a parent, Peter's going to go on to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your house. If you're an adult and you have children or you're married, your belief or rejection has an impact very immediately in your own household. So especially if you're an adult, believe, receive, commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for your good. It's for your family's good. Now, the role of Jesus is a role we could never fulfill. We're never called to do that. Jesus keeps the law. We're called to believe in him. Isn't that a good news? Jesus takes care of all the obligation. And God says, this is my son. Believe in him. John has his witness. And we're to be Jesus' witnesses. You know, I was wonderful sit on the plane next to this lady. She just had a story. She just had a story. And what she needed was, could have been you sitting next to her. Just happened to be me. But all I was able to do was just listen, mourn with her a little bit, rejoice with her a little bit, and point her to Jesus. She's Muslim. No personal relationship. No Jesus, I said, age 22. I asked him to come into my life. He did. He's been with me ever since. I've prayed and he's answered. He's taken me and developed me. And he'll never leave me. He's always with me. And you don't know how much further you can go. Airplanes are not the quietest things in the world. And you're just trying to leave her with something that she can take away. I didn't try and get her to commit her life to Christ. Maybe I should have, but I pointed her clearly and directly to, we're witnesses. We witness, God takes action. It's Christmas, we have a gift to give. There are people all around us who don't have the gift. The second thing you see here in this passage is in verses 9 through 13 about the light. That Jesus is God's one true light. That's what we see here. The Word, the one that's introduced at the very beginning, this Word is the one who created all things. And today, that Creator has been in the world since the beginning of the creation, bringing illumination into the world about the reality of God. Since the fall, man can only see what God has done, and only faintly, but clearly, what God has done is seen by all. I grew up looking at the ocean. So you go to the ocean and you look east and all you see is, you know what you see? Ocean. Sometimes it's like a lake. Sometimes there's beautiful rollers coming in that you can surf on. And sometimes it looks like a storm. Violent upheaval, froth and foam. It's agitated, but you look out, it's just the horizon and the ocean. You go a little to the west of where I grew up, and it's sawgrass. as far as the eye can see, the Everglades stretch. Every once in a while, a hammock of cypress and a few other trees, but basically, it's like a sea of grass. That's what I knew. And then I come out here. One of the members of the church said, you know, one time I drove from somewhere in like Nashville over to Knoxville, or rather, I think over to Charlotte. And he says, it said there were Smoky Mountains ahead. I got down the other side and I said, well, where were they? Your mountains and our mountains are two different things. When I come here, I see, wow! Now you see the wisdom of God. You see the power of God. You see the goodness of God, and you're not even a Christian, and it's been shining since the fall into men's hearts. God, it's what it's saying here, is the light, true light gives light to every person coming into the world. It goes on to say that he was in the world. He says, if you look at this passage of Scripture in verse 10, world comes first three times. The world he was in, the world was made through him, the world did not know him. It talks about the cosmos, and then it talks about mankind. Mankind did not know him. He's revealing himself. Man is without excuse because of that revelation. And Christ has been revealing himself from the very foundation of the world. It says the world did not know him. He came into the world. He came and lived amongst men. And the world was indifferent. If the world could get a benefit, the world got in line. Over and over again, you see the world getting in line, bringing people to be healed, bringing people to be touched, bringing, there's a free meal here. People get in line. But it says they never penetrated. They never asked the question, really, who could do this? I remember for my son, I would hold him in my lap and I would read John's gospel and I would say, what did it say Jesus did? It said Jesus walked on water. Can you walk on water? No. Do you know anybody that can walk on water? No. What says Jesus walked on water? Who could walk on water? And he says, only God. But I says, it says Jesus walked on water. I says, well, what's that mean? Jesus must be God. But this didn't penetrate. These people, even the disciples, did not fully understand this. So he came to his own people. I don't know what it's like here. It's hard for me to picture a couple of you, like Jonathan said, we're from right over here somewhere, not far away. And this has kind of been his backyard here. And what was it like when it was the backyard to a little Jonathan right here? I don't know. I know what it was like in Lake Worth, Florida. There wasn't a lot of coming and going. And boy, if somebody that was special came home, a lot of times there are big celebrations. Somebody important came back home, there was an event. We had John F. Kennedy and Jackie Onassis Kennedy, or Jackie Kennedy at the time, Beauvoir, I believe her maiden name was, Kennedy, and they came to Palm Beach. Palm Beach was one of the winter homes of the Kennedy family whenever he came. I mean, people were excited to see President Kennedy has come back to Palm Beach for a visit. If you can believe this, Jackie Onassis used to water ski behind about a 60-foot yacht. I don't know, but she did. She even did that in the Atlantic Ocean. And you see, how do I know about that? Because the paper and the news made much of it. This was a hometowner. We want to know about him. Jesus came to his own people. These are people that were schooled in the Old Testament. They knew what the Messiah was to be like. And if they just stopped and looked, it says when Jesus, well, you remember how John sent his disciples, "Are you the one?" And Jesus says, "Go back to John and tell him what you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." What did Jesus say to John? He was saying, "John, you know what the Old Testament says about the Messiah? You know that. Look what I'm doing." And he healed many people right then. And they went back and reported to John. John wasn't the only one that knew those things. All these Jewish people knew these things. They all knew it. The tragic tone. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Not only did not receive him, but ultimately rejected him. Now, this isn't a universal. It says that he came and some people believed. You see this passage again. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, not those who were not born of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but born of God. People heard Jesus, and no matter what they knew, something happened. And they knew that this was the one in whom they were put their faith. Now, some of you are here and you may have questions about Christianity. Some of you may have been holding these questions about Christianity in Christ for a very long time. Children can do that. I did that. But you see, they didn't know that much, a lot of the people that Jesus has ministered to. They didn't know all of this. I remember one time lecturing to a small group in a home, and we were going through the complicated passages of the book of Colossians, and Dr. Suma at the end of it looked at me and he says, "John, those people didn't know all those things." And I says, "Well, John, of course they didn't. Paul was writing these things to them so they could know them. You won't know all these things." But there's hardly anybody here that doesn't know enough. That doesn't know enough. You know more than enough. If you were just here this morning and heard nothing but what I said, you know enough to know that Jesus is to be the object of your faith, that you are to entrust yourself to him. You are to believe him. You are to receive him. And when you do these things and you act upon these things, something happens. And that which happens is that you become one of the children of God. You say, "Well, what in the world? That's a great sounding phrase. I like that, children of God. What would that look like?" Well, again, for you younger people, think of it. This John who is writing was probably 17, 18 when Jesus first encountered him. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And it says the next day, this disciple began to follow him. Who is this kid? Well, down in Florida, they've got a phrase, and I don't know if it made it up here or not. He says, "That rube looks like he just fell off the turnip truck." I don't know if you've got that around here. But that might be about what you would say of John at 17. Who is this guy? Well, he's got an older brother named James. He's got a father named Zebedee. It looks like Zebedee's wife is Mary's sister. Okay. Got some friends, Peter and Andrew. What do they all do? They're fishermen on a lake. I don't know about you, but fishermen that are fishermen are kind of raw people. You remember Peter at the denial of Jesus? Remember that? Remember the third time he denied Jesus, what it said he did? He acted like a fisherman. He starts cursing. Fishermen are known for cursing. And this kid, this is his environment. Doesn't sound like much, does he? Just a kid. Just a kid. But this is the kid who loves Jesus. This is the kid who stuck with Jesus. This is the kid that was taken when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. This is the kid that was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the kid who's laying on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. This is the one to whom Jesus says on the cross to Mary, "Behold your son." And he says to John, "Behold your mother." And it said from that day forward, Mary took up residence with John. Just this kid, it could be you. But the key is, what did he do? He believed and he attached himself to Jesus. In attaching himself to Jesus, well, the adventure of faith will not let you down. The adventure of attaching yourself to Jesus will never disappoint. This is the person who writes a gospel. It says of this gospel, it's so simple that a child could read it and understand it. And yet it's so profound that people write books about what he said. There are probably more books in existence on these first 18 verses of John's gospel by this one person. More books about that than about any other subject in the history of mankind. Just a kid who believed in Jesus. Believe, how big is the gift? It's much bigger than we could ever think. One old man came to Scotland to a church. He was so common, he came as a younger person, but he was so common working in a foundry in Scotland in the early 1900s that he could not qualify for the lowest job in the foundry, which was a helper. And the owner of the foundry gave this man the position of a helper's assistant. And he showed up at the Presbyterian Church in Glasgow. And he went there every time the door was open. And as this man matured, he learned to read. As he learned to read, he learned and understood the scripture. It was a university town. It was a medical school town. And medical students were going to this same person and asking for prayer and spiritual understanding of the scriptures. And the man that told this story said he was never more moved in a prayer meeting when he heard the same man get up and pray, and he said, "O Lord, thou who makest wise the simple." That's the gift of God. That's what Christ does when we receive the gift of bringing him into our heart and into our mind. He's written the gospel. He's written the three epistles. He's given of all this, the book of Revelation. Look at them. They're all around us. Johnny Erickson Tata, an unbelieving teenager, jumps into the Chesapeake Bay and becomes a quadriplegic and a young man from Columbia Bible College comes along her bed and leads her to faith and disciples her through the writing of her first two books. She's still living. A friend of mine had the privilege of being her pastor. She does what can a quadriplegic kid do? And you say, when you look at Johnny Erickson's life, the old adage, nothing's impossible. That's what it means to be attached to Jesus Christ. We've got men and women who have all ages have come to Christ, and their lives have been made glorious. It says here, the Word became flesh. That's the absolute center of this passage. It says in Hebrews 1 that through this one that's the Word, God spoke. God spoke through His Son. The Word, God incarnate, came, and He began to explain through Himself, through His actions, through His teaching, through His heart, through His character, who God the Father is at all times. And He came in the flesh. The flesh is not a technical term. Philosophy might have said He became a human. That's too elevated. He became a man. That really doesn't get at it, because man is noble. But He became flesh. And the concept in John's gospel constantly is flesh is weak. Flesh is ignorant. Flesh gets diseases. Flesh deteriorates. Flesh corrupts. Flesh dies. That's what the Word became. Man in his weakness is what you see in Jesus. And He came as the Word of God. And this is the message that we heard from Him. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. There should never be any equivocation in your heart and mind what it means to adapt yourself to Jesus Christ. Paul says, God is not yes and no, but yes and amen. That's who our God is, and that's what's revealed to us. He became the Word to reveal this. The Word in verse 1 and 2 that is equal with the Father has come into the human nature of Jesus, and the two have been bound together in a mysterious way in which God remains fully God and man becomes fully man, and all of our needs are met through the One who created us and came to renew us in the image of the One who created us. This is the One who became flesh, giving us a luminous vision of His Father. In Jesus, we see him who is unseen. In Jesus, we know him who is incomprehensible. And in Jesus, we become God's dear children. That's what the scriptures here are telling us. The Word became flesh that we could become the children of God. We see in Jesus the glory of God. The glory of the Father is the same as the glory that's in Jesus. In John 17, I want to come back to you, to that glory which I shared with you before the world was. That glory was in Jesus. That glory is what we know of the Father. This glory is the glory that he comes to bring us into. You see here, he says he tabernacled amongst us. Now that is a technical term, and the word glory is a technical term, and they both go together. When Jesus came to earth, that glory was seen in him. I'm a person that used to be very easily offended. I think I was touchy. I think that's fair. And then over time, I began to understand that the other people that I was dealing with are really not the problem. The problem that I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with other people is me, because I'm seeing things that I don't like, and it's me. It's that I don't like them. It's not that they're wrong, it's just that I don't like them. Don't like what they're doing. Just before I left Macon, we were in a staff meeting, and something came up about things like this, and one of my buddies said, well, with you, John, the problem is you're just so thick-skinned. I quickly corrected the man. I am not thick-skinned. But I can see the glory. In the glory of seeing the glory that's in Christ enables me to look beyond the stuff that's you and me. I can deal with people. I can deal with their insults. I can deal with their hurts. Why? Because I can see the glory, and the glory is bigger than all of that. And he gives us a great life when we see the glory. This is what this is all about. It's to transform us as people who can see the glory. You see what it's saying about the glory. It's grace upon grace. He says, we receive grace upon grace from Jesus. You know, for me, if you do me wrong, I might not give you grace in return, at least not right away. I might come around, but Jesus just came back with more grace. This is what he's doing to you right now, doing for me. Grace and truth, all the time. Never grace and deceit, never grace and a change. No, it's grace and truth, grace upon grace. That's what he's giving us over and over again. It says the law was given by Moses. The law is the most amazing thing. Don't ever minimize the law. The law is beautiful. The law is, it's showing us who God is. Actually, we see the glory of God as we look at the law. But you can look at the law all day long. You can memorize the whole Old Testament. It won't transform your life. It won't. But if God's grace and truth comes into your life through Jesus Christ, that will transform your life. So here's my friend John calling me up a couple of weeks ago. As he likes to do, he likes to entertain me. "I got a great story for you." I says, "Really? Yeah." I says, "Well, let's hear it." Happens about every 6 weeks. He says, Wild Bill lives in Atlanta. Wild Bill read an ad from Ohio, 1994 Porsche 968. Won't run. So Wild Bill gets on the phone, calls the guy, and guy says, "No, won't run." "So how do you know it won't run?" "Well, it won't run." I says, "Well," he says, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, I've taken it to Porsche mechanics. They can't get the car to run." He says, "Well, then I need to be able to buy it really right." He says, yeah, you will." So Wild Bill gets the trailer and truck, and off he goes to Ohio, and back to Atlanta he comes, and he's got this to die for looking car, interior, exterior, under the hood, everything looks amazing. Car won't run. He calls John. "What's wrong with the car?" I could list the three or four things John told him to do. And he says, "Make sure it's got gas in it." About a week later, Wild Bill, "John, I did this, this, and this, and the car won't run." John says, "Did you put gas in it?" He says, "John, you turn the car on, the gauge goes to a quarter." John says, "Did you put gas in it?" And he said, "No." He says, "Well, go put some gas in it." And so Wild Bill goes with his lawnmower can, gets 2 gallons of gas, puts it in the car, hits the ignition, vroom, vroom, vroom. Free car, no gas. The law is as beautiful, far more beautiful than a Porsche that won't run. Your life without Christ is like the law. You weren't meant to run on the law. You weren't meant to run on your beauty. You were meant to run on God's grace and truth that's found in Christ Jesus. And the only way for your life to run is to believe and receive. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's the time of year when we know how to do this. It's what you need to do. Young and old, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ. A human life, a temporal life, through Jesus and the grace of God, eternal life. The gift of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. It seems so simple, and it also seems as if it's too good to be true. So help us. If there'd be a child here, or even an adult that really hasn't yet just surrendered their life to Jesus to receive him, would you work in their hearts that they would do that? May we believe that God wants to use us to bear witness to other people that don't know him, that through Christ they can have all of God's good and perfect gifts. We make our prayer in his name with thanksgiving. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you now and forever. Amen.